Listen again to the words of the collect or opening prayer of this Mass, offered just a few minutes ago. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. As is usually the case with our Mass collects, this little prayer is densely packed with essential things. So let's look more closely at six different dimensions of being a Christian mentioned in this short prayer. First, God chose us. Second, through the grace of adoption. Third, to be children of light. Fourth, not to be wrapped in the darkness of error. Fifth, but always to be seen to stand. Sixth, in the bright light of truth. In the night before he died, the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." This mystery of divine election is at the heart of all Christian faith and life. And in an age that prizes radical autonomy above all else, being chosen by God for a purpose is especially difficult to understand. But the most fundamental truth about human life is that we are not the source of our own being. We do not will ourselves into existence or decide in what time, in what place, or to which parents we will be born. We do not choose our own personal gifts or burdens, and we do not plan the world events that will shape our lives. There is instead a givenness to our existence that is beyond both our choosing and our changing, and that is not an injustice. Moreover, as it is in the order of being, so it is also in the order of grace. We do not choose God. We are chosen by him. And that is not in any way a diminution of our personal integrity or of our interior freedom, because we are always at liberty to say either yes or no to the offer made by Christ to follow him. The collect today says that God chose us through the grace of adoption. And that is what St. Paul addresses in the second lesson today from chapter 6 of his letter to the Romans. Divine election, you see, and the grace of adoption are given to us in the sacrament of holy baptism. And so Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. God the Son, who is also the eternal Word, is divine by nature, while we, of course, are human by nature. But the Word became flesh and took our human nature to himself, precisely so that he could give us a share in his divine nature by the grace of adoption. And this was part of God's eternal plan from the very beginning, as Paul explained to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. So, by divine and eternal election, we have been made God's adopted children through the grace of holy baptism, so that we may be, as the third point of the collect says, children of light. Christ, who is true God, is also light from light, and so he alone is the true light of the world. But all who in Christ have been made a new creation have also become children of light and have been sent as his witnesses. In her Magnificat, the Virgin Mother sings that her soul magnifies the Lord. But how can any creature increase the glory of God? In the same way that the moon reflects the light of the sun and thus spreads its radiance. Just so the children of light magnify the light of Christ by their manner of life, but only, as the fourth point of the collect insists, only if they are not wrapped in the darkness of error. Error, of course, is possible only where there is truth. And in this case, both truth and error refer to all that God has revealed for the salvation of the human race, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we receive the gospel with the obedience of faith, we are conformed to the truth. But when we reject the gospel in whole or in part, we then make ourselves the measure of the word of God and are to that extent thus wrapped in error about the first and last things, the highest and deepest things of human life. My friends, we are called by our baptism not to be wrapped in error, but to stand, as the collect puts it, in the bright light of truth by the way we live. But I've skipped over the fifth point of the opening prayer. Not only are we called by the grace of adoption to stand in the bright light of truth, but we are also meant to be seen by others as standing in that light, always. This fifth point of the collect refers to the public witness we must bear to Christ by our words and our deeds. It is not possible to be a part-time Christian, to be a private Christian, or to be a solitary Christian. To be a Christian at all is to be a witness or martyr to the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that his gospel is the full truth about God and man, in which we find the freedom of the children of God, not through autonomy, but through the obedience of faith. In other words, while we do have the capacity to turn away from the grace of our baptism and live as though Jesus Christ is not Lord, we find our authentic freedom and happiness, our dignity and destiny, only when we cooperate with God's grace and live the life of the new creation by forsaking everything that is contrary to the gospel. And so Paul continues in today's second lesson. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here we find the chief challenge to Christianity in our time. Those who demand radical autonomy, that is, who want to be a law unto themselves, refuse to be called to anything by anyone. And they reject as violent oppression all attempts to distinguish truth from error, or to identify some behaviors as contrary to God's love and law. In this approach to human life, which now dominates our culture, the God and religion of the Bible are considered the enemies of human freedom rather than their guarantor, and the gospel is denounced as hate speech. And once this view of life has taken deep root in someone's heart, about the only way to bear witness to Christ for them is with a self-emptying love, even more radical than their lawlessness. My friends, being a Christian is hard work and requires the most serious commitment to die to self and to live for God in Christ Jesus, as the Savior himself explains in the gospel today. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. But the hardest work of that constant conversion has already been accomplished for us by the Savior through his cross and resurrection. And that grace is offered to us as a free and unmerited gift. All that we have to do is accept that gift and then cooperate with God's grace to live even now the life of the new creation through our baptism. And so we pray with the church always and everywhere. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.